Imagine this scenario for your startup. You're experiencing hypergrowth. Revenue's doubling, the team's exploding in size. Sounds amazing, right? The dream.
It really does, on the
Dream.
surface.
But what if, underneath all that fantastic success, there's like a quiet catastrophe brewing? The actual foundations, your operations, they're slowly, silently unraveling.
Leading to huge hidden costs, customers leaving.
And ultimately putting the whole business, at risk. This isn't just hypothetical either. It's terrifyingly common.
It
It
is.
blindsides so many founders who, in that initial rush, that almost reckless sprint to innovate, they just neglect the operational groundwork, the stuff that lets a company actually endure and scale sustainably.
It's like building a race car, focusing only on the engine and forgetting the brakes, the steering, the cooling system.
Yeah.
You generate a lot of noise, maybe a quick burst of speed, but it's not sustainable. It won't last.
That is the perfect analogy. And that right there, that's our mission for this deep dive. Welcome back to the Deep Dive, where we take your sources, articles, research, and we boil them down into the essential nuggets of knowledge you need.
Trying to cut through the noise.
Exactly. Today marks our concluding deep dive in this whole series where we're bringing everything together. We're focusing on how digital transformation is, well, truly inseparable from process excellence.
They're two sides of the same coin, really.
Our goal is to explore how leveraging, cutting-edge tech, data analytics, a real digital-first mindset can revolutionize your processes, make them smarter, more responsive.
And ultimately build a future-ready, really competitive startup, one that actually turns that potential chaos, that growth chaos, into, well, cash.
So let's start there. Digital transformation isn't just buying new software.
Oh, definitely not.
Yeah.
That's a common misconception. It's a fundamental shift in how your startup creates and delivers value. The best transformations, they start with the business outcomes you want. Then you figure out how tech enables that.
Not tech for tech's sake.
Never tech for tech's sake. That's a recipe for expensive failures.
Okay, so it's not just automating the bad stuff you already do, but the danger of ignoring this, of focusing only on product and sales without that operational integrity, it's huge.
It is. Our sources, especially Bakari's work, really hammer this home. The quote is stark: innovation without process is a recipe for collapse.
And we saw that play out with Aquahouse, didn't we? That AI, water quality, sensor startup, explosive growth, 5 to 50 employees in just 18 months, revenue doubling every quarter, looked like a massive success story.
From the outside, absolutely. Product market fit, check. Capital, check. Great team, check. But that speed, that very success, it hid this quiet catastrophe underneath. Their processes, or maybe the lack of them,
Yeah, the lack of
they
a.
just buckled, completely buckled under the pressure. They had crippling data stream lag, constant network issues for their sensors, unexpected installation delays, logistical nightmares in remote areas.
Oh, wow.
And then the customer complaints surged, team burnout was rampant. It became this vicious cycle where the growth itself just amplified all their operational weaknesses.
So the growth became the enemy in a way. What was the actual tangible damage from all that chaos?
Well, the direct hit was about $150,000, just in immediate losses from rework, missed deadlines, customer credits, things like that.
That's significant.
It is, but honestly, the indirect costs were probably far higher. Damaged reputation, plummeting employee morale, the sheer opportunity cost of dealing with fires instead of building the future, it nearly sank them.
Wow.
It's such a clear lesson. Innovation without solid, adaptable processes, it's not just inefficient, it's a direct path to implosion.
It really turns the common founder belief on its head, doesn't it? That processes slow you down, they're just bureaucracy. But you talk about this process-first revolution flywheel. Explain that. How do processes become accelerators, not brakes?
Yeah, that's the critical mindset shift. Most see process as this necessary evil you deal with later. But the flywheel concept shows it's the engine of acceleration. Good processes, they naturally boost efficiency, cut waste. That means better profitability.
Okay, makes sense so far.
And that increased profit, it lets you reinvest, not just in R&D, but crucially, back into improving speed and quality within your operations.
Ah, so you reinvest in the process itself.
Exactly. Better speed, better quality, that reduces the chaos, reduces friction, that enables much more efficient scaling. And that creates this self-reinforcing cycle. The more efficient you get, the more you can grow sustainably, and the more you grow, the more you can reinvest to get even better.
That's the flywheel, a continuous loop building momentum.
Precisely. It builds a sustainable competitive edge from the inside out.
Okay, but here's where it gets tricky, right? Where lots of startups mess up. the big mistake of just paving the cow path.
Oh, absolutely. Just automating the messy, inefficient way you've always done things.
Instead of seeing digital transformation as this amazing chance to fundamentally rethink how work gets done, asking that key question, what would this look like if we designed it from scratch today with today's tech?
That clean sheet thinking is vital. It unlocks opportunities for radical simplification, stuff you'd never see if you're just trying to digitize clunky old manual steps. You're not digitizing a bad process, you're inventing a better one, powered by digital tools.
Okay, so let's talk about those tools. Let's explore the technologies that enable this revolution. It's not just one thing, is it? There's a whole spectrum of automation.
Yeah, definitely a spectrum. Moving from, you know, pretty simple stuff to really sophisticated AI. At the basic end, you've got basic process automation, usually called RPA, robotic process automation.
Right, the bots doing the repetitive tasks.
Exactly. Rule-based, repetitive work with structured data. Think automated email responses for common queries, basic data entry, generating standard reports. For a startup, this is often low-hanging fruit.
Frees people up from the boring stuff.
Totally. And implementation. Often uses low-code or no-code platforms, so it's accessible even if you don't have a huge engineering team. Quick wins.
Okay, so RPA handles the predictable stuff. What about when things get a bit less predictable, need a bit more judgment?
That's where intelligent process automation, or IPA, comes in. This steps it up a notch. It combines that basic automation with more advanced capabilities like natural language processing, NLP, and some machine learning.
So it can understand language, learn a bit.
Yeah, for semi-structured processes. Think smart chatbots that can handle more complex customer questions, not just FAQs, or intelligent systems processing varied documents like invoices or support tickets, even if the format isn't always the same.
That sounds powerful for scaling support or back office work.
It is. They handle variability, make basic decisions, and they learn.
Yeah.
You can scale operations without just throwing more people at the problem.
And then at the very top end, the really advanced stuff.
That's advanced AI applications. This is where you get truly transformative. We're moving beyond set rules into genuine predictive power, complex machine learning.
Like what specifically?
Things like predictive analytics, forecasting customer churn or demand with high accuracy, personalized recommendation engines that learn user preferences in real time, computer vision for quality control on a production line, or analyzing logistics.
Wow. So it's making decisions based on huge amounts of data, constantly learning.
Exactly. Handling highly variable processes where you used to need deep human intuition. For a startup, this offers a level of insight and responsiveness that just wasn't possible before.
And we have real examples of this making a difference. Payment Pro, the fintech startup, they found quick wins in customer onboarding, right? Which is often a huge bottleneck.
They did. They automated document verification. Bam, saved 12 hours a week of manual work. Automated compliance checks. Reduced errors by 78%. That's massive in fintech.
Huge.
And automated welcome emails improved response rates by 34%. The kicker, they saw ROI in 6 weeks.
6 weeks? That's incredibly fast. Shows the immediate value if you apply it strategically.
It really does. But it's not just about automation inside the office. There's also IoT, the Internet of Things, and advanced analytics. These are game changers, especially if you deal with physical products or operations.
IoT sensors, things talking to each other.
Right. Real-time data collection from physical assets, sensors in equipment, trackers on shipments, smart devices. This enables remote monitoring, predictive maintenance, fixing things before they break, and amazing supply chain visibility.
So you know where everything is and how it's doing constantly.
You do. For a startup, that means solving problems proactively, sometimes before the customer even notices.
And the advanced analytics piece is what makes sense of all that data flooding in from the IoT devices.
Precisely. It integrates predictive modeling, machine learning, crunching all that real-time data to drive smarter decisions. It can even enable self-service analytics, so business users can get insights without waiting for data scientists.
Got it. There's that global freight logistics case?
Yes, great example. The transformation used IoT sensors on shipments linked to a cloud analytics platform. The result? They cut their average order-to-delivery time from 27 days down to just 7.
From nearly a month to 1 week? That's incredible.
Unbelievable improvement. On-time delivery went from 77% to 98%. Customer satisfaction jumped from 68% to 92%. For a logistics company, that's market domination territory.
Wow. Okay, and briefly, you mentioned blockchain and distributed technologies. How does that fit in beyond crypto?
Yeah, it gets a lot of hype for crypto, but it's Potential for operations is significant, where trust and transparency are key. Think supply chain traceability, seeing every single step a product takes, immutably recorded.
Okay, so proving provenance or tracking parts.
Exactly. Also, smart contracts for automating transactions when certain conditions are met, and robust digital identity management. For startups in complex supply chains or dealing with high-value assets or regulated data, it can build incredible trust and efficiency.
Makes sense. And finally, a critical piece. Cybersecurity and process integrity. With all this data flying around, security has to be paramount.
Absolutely non-negotiable. A data-driven culture demands strong data governance, privacy baked in from the start, privacy by design, plus robust security controls and constant monitoring. You can't have process excellence on shaky security foundations.
And the key is integrating it, right? Not tacking it on at the end.
Yes. Embed security and compliance into your core processes. The healthcare compliance integration case showed this perfectly. A medical research org built compliance steps directly into their research workflows.
So it wasn't a separate hurdle.
Exactly. And the results? Regulatory delays cut by 43%, audit findings down 27%, compliance costs reduced by 34%. It proves that process excellence, done right, actually strengthens security and integrity and can even save money.
That's compelling. Okay, so we've seen the tech, the potential. How do you actually build this data-driven culture around process? It starts with measurement, doesn't it? That old saying.
What gets measured gets managed. But the key addition is choose your metrics wisely, for they will shape your future.
Meaning?
Meaning, every single metric needs a clear purpose. Is it for decision support, influencing behavior, guiding improvements, managing risk, accountability? If a metric doesn't clearly drive an action or inform a decision,
it's just noise, vanity metrics.
Exactly. Founders often drown in data. Track the right few things, not everything.
And you need balance in those metrics too, right? Not just one type.
Absolutely critical. You need a mix of leading indicators, predictive stuff like website conversion rates that hint at future results, and lagging indicators, results-based things like customer acquisition cost that tell you what already happened.
Okay. Predictive versus historical.
Right. Also, balance metrics. Process metrics, how the work gets done, like cycle time, with outcome metrics, what the work produces, like customer satisfaction.
How versus what?
And finally, consider efficiency. Are we doing things right? Versus effectiveness. Are we doing the right things? It's easy to efficiently do something completely useless.
Good point. So for a startup founder listening, what are some must-have essential process metrics they should probably be tracking?
Okay, a good starting list would include cycle time, total time from process start to finish, like customer onboarding time. How long does it really take?
Okay, speed.
Process adherence. What percentage of the time is the defined process actually followed? Tells you about adoption, training, maybe flaws in the process itself.
Are people actually doing it?
First time right. Rate. Percentage of outputs perfect first time, no rework needed. Rework is a huge hidden cost and frustration driver.
Quality and efficiency combined.
Resource utilization.
Sure.
Are your people in tech being used effectively? Are your best engineers doing basic support? Is your expensive software sitting idle?
Getting the most bang for your buck.
And definitely customer satisfaction, CSAT, NPS. How happy are customers with the outcome of your processes? A great product experience can be totally undermined by a terrible support process.
Right. It links process directly to the customer experience. So, okay, you've got your metrics. How do you use them to actually improve things quickly, especially in a startup? The build, measure, learn loop for processes.
Exactly. Adapted straight from lean startup methodology. Perfect for rapid process iteration. First, you build a minimum viable process, an MVP.
Like a product MVP, but for a process.
Precisely. The simplest version that delivers core value and lets you learn the most quickly. Get something functional out there. Don't aim for perfection initially.
Okay, small, fast experiments, then measure.
Collect meaningful data, those leading and lagging indicators we talked about.
Yeah.
But crucially, also qualitative feedback. Talk to the team using the process. Talk to the customers experiencing it. Get the how it feels part, not just the numbers.
The human element again. And once you have that data and feedback, learn.
This is where the insights come from. Analyze everything. Dig for the root causes. Why did that number go up? Why did this feedback come in?
Like that growth engine example.
Perfect example. Marketing tech startup. Used BML on lead qualification. The initial data looked good. Sales accepted more leads. Yay, right.
Sounds good.
But the overall conversion rate of those accepted leads actually dropped.
Oh, so sales accepted them, but they didn't buy.
Exactly. The learn phase, talking to sales, revealed the criteria were misaligned. Marketing's qualified, wasn't sales ready to buy.
The classic misalignment.
A simple fix, getting them to agree on one definition, led to a 35% increase in overall conversion. Massive impact from understanding the why behind the numbers. It was a process problem.
That's huge. And the loop completes with iterate.
Yep. Evolve the process based on what you learned. Amplify what worked, ditch what didn't. Small, frequent improvements. And share those learnings. Don't keep insights siloed.
So building this continuous improvement habit is key to making it all stick. Digital transformation, process excellence, they aren't projects with an end date.
No, they're an ongoing journey, a way of operating. And that needs some kind of lightweight governance.
Uh-oh, governance sounds like bureaucracy.
It doesn't have to be. For a startup, lightweight is key. Think simple mechanisms to keep processes healthy and evolving. Stop process decay without bogging things down.
Like what?
Like maintaining a simple process inventory. Know what your core processes are, who owns them, and have a regular quick review cadence. Like a health checkup for your processes. Mindful maintenance, not heavy admin.
Okay, that sounds manageable. And it loops back to people, doesn't it? User adoption, change management. You said it's non-negotiable.
Absolutely. You can build the slickest digital process, but if the team resists it or doesn't use it properly, it's worthless.
So how do you get that buy-in? What's the secret?
Involve the doers, the people who will actually use the new process. Get them involved in design and testing. Communicate the why constantly, what's in it for them. Less tedious work, more impact, maybe easier collaboration.
Make it clear how it helps them.
And provide good training. Not just a one-off webinar, but ongoing support. TechConnect Solutions did this brilliantly with their customer support transformation. Phased rollout.
Tell me about that.
Instead of flipping a switch for everyone, they ran a small pilot first. Phase 3, they call it. Got feedback from that small group, tweak the process, refine the tech, improve the training based on that feedback, then they rolled it out wider.
Like a process MVP rollout. Smart. The results.
Incredible. Customer churn dropped by 68%. Average response time went down to just 5 minutes. That phased, user-focused approach, it massively reduced resistance and made the whole thing a success.
Amazing. Shows the power of focusing on the people side. Okay, last big piece, future-proofing. How do you build an infrastructure that adapts as tech keeps changing so fast?
Good question. It's about designing for adaptability. Think modular architecture systems built from components you can update or swap out independently.
So you don't have to replace the whole thing.
Right. An API-first approach, having clear connection points between systems so they integrate easily. Cloud-native design gives you that scalability and flexibility to grow or shrink easily.
Adapting to demand.
And fundamentally, it comes back to that data-driven culture and learning mindset. You need to be constantly experimenting, learning, adapting. Build an operational ecosystem that breathes.
And embedding that daily improvement habit. We mentioned Kaizen.
Yeah, revisiting those simple Kaizen principles is powerful. Daily improvement huddles those quick 5-15 minute team stand-ups focused just on what can we make a tiny bit better today.
Small, consistent steps.
And Kaizen boards, visual ways, physical or digital, to track improvement ideas. See what's suggested, what's in progress, what's done. It makes improvement visible, shared, and part of the daily rhythm. Everyone gets involved.
Weaving it into the fabric of the work. Okay, we have covered a lot today, really bringing together how digital transformation and process excellence are, like you said, two sides of the same coin, essential partners.
They really are. It's using tech and data, not just to go faster, but to build that strong, unbreakable core, the core that lets your startup adapt, scale, and turn that potential chaos of growth into a real competitive advantage.
It's about moving from reacting to problems, constantly firefighting,
to proactively designing processes that anticipate growth, that can handle scale without buckling, making operations agile, resilient.
Okay, so for your actionable takeaway from this deep dive, we're challenging you, listening right now, to reflect on your own operations. Pick just one key process. Maybe it's customer onboarding, maybe lead qualification, maybe product delivery.
Just one critical area.
Yeah.
And think, how could these emerging digital technologies fundamentally transform that one process to give you a competitive edge? How could you apply these principles right there?
Start small, think big.
And a final thought to leave you with.
As you look ahead, how can you really shift your mindset? Move away from just fixing things as they break, patching up the leaks.
And move towards proactively designing processes that don't just cope with explosive growth, but actually embrace it. How do you build scalability in from day one, making that potential chaos your biggest asset, not your biggest bottleneck?
That's the goal. turning chaos into cash. It absolutely is. We've covered a tremendous amount of ground, not just today, but throughout this entire five-part series, from the process-first mindset, fundamentals, advanced methods, and now digital transformation. So a huge thank you, really, to everyone who's been following along on this journey with us.
Yeah, thanks for sticking with us through all of it.
We genuinely love to hear from you. Please do reach out with your feedback, your questions, anything that came up for you. Use the contact or feedback form on our website, startupprocessimprovement.com.
Let us know what you think, what challenges you're facing.
And of course, if you found value in this deep dive or the series as a whole, please subscribe to our YouTube channel. That's at youtube.com/theprocessguy.
We appreciate the support.
We really do. Until next time, keep diving deep into what truly matters for building a successful startup.